Now we will begin Part C with the first talk.
Questions 39 through 42. Listen to a talk by an anthropologist.
To continue our series of recordings from the museum's archives, this afternoon you will have the opportunity to hear a preeminent Native American storyteller, Joseph Medicine Crow. This museum is fortunate to have some of the recordings of legends and other stories he has collected from his native Crow culture, which is one of the Plains Indian groups. To understand the significance of these recordings, it is important to remember that the history and traditions of Native Americans were not written down. Instead, they were passed down from one generation to the next by tribal storytellers. Often, these storytellers were specially trained. They were chosen for the role when young and charged with remembering and sharing their people's oral history, a tradition that no longer exists. Joseph Medicine Crow recorded and saved the stories of his grandfather, one of the Crow people's last war chiefs. He also collected the memoirs of other tribal elders. Today, the traditional tribal storytellers Joseph Crow knew as a young man are all gone, so he must now gather information from their children and grandchildren. Now we'll hear a tape of this great storyteller as he recounts a legend of the Crow people. The slides you will see accompanying this story are pictures of artifacts of various Plains Indian cultures.
Number 39. What is the speaker's main purpose? Number 40. Why were storytellers important to Plains Indian cultures? Number 41. According to the talk, why are Joseph Medicine Crow's recordings especially important now? Number 42. Why does Joseph Medicine Crow collect material from storytellers' children? Questions 43 through 46. Listen to a professor in a business class.
I hope you've all finished reading the assigned chapter on insurance, so that you're prepared for our discussion today. But before we start, I'd like to mention a few things your text doesn't go into. It's interesting to note that insurance has existed in some form for a very long time. The earliest insurance policies were what were called bottomry contracts. They provided shipping protection for merchants as far back as 3000 BCE. In general, the contracts were often no more than verbal agreements. They granted loans to merchants with the understanding that if a particular shipment of goods was lost at sea, the loan didn't have to be repaid. Interest on the loans varied according to how risky it was to transport the goods. During periods of heavy piracy at sea, for example, the amount of interest and the cost of the policy went up considerably. So you can see how insurance helped encourage international trade. Even the most cautious merchants became willing to risk shipping their goods over long distances, not to mention in hazardous weather conditions, when they had this kind of protection available. Generally speaking, the basic form of an insurance policy has been pretty much the same since the Middle Ages. There are four points that were salient then and remain paramount in all policies today. These were outlined in Chapter 6 and will serve as the basis for the rest of today's discussion. Can anyone tell me what one of those points might be?
Number 43. What is the purpose of the professor's talk? Number 44. Who were the first insurance contracts designed to protect? Number 45. What does the professor say determined the cost of early insurance policies? Number 46. What does the professor say about current insurance policies? Questions 47 through 50. Listen to part of a talk about honeybees.
Communication. What is communication? Some of you will say it is language. But is communication just limited to human language? You might be surprised to learn that scientists have discovered that honeybees have a form of communication that is as complicated and as effective as human language. Honeybees communicate by dancing. For example, when a honeybee finds food, it returns to its hive and performs a dance. This dance communicates a message about the food. Basically, there are three types of dances: the round dance, the sickle dance, and the tail-wagging dance. In all three dances, the number of turns in the bee's dance tells the other bees how far the food is from the hive. The angle of the bee's dance in relation to the sun tells the direction of food from the hive. So, you see, honeybees communicate using one form of nonverbal communication. Can anyone suggest another form of nonverbal communication used by animals?
Number 47. What aspect of honeybees does the speaker discuss? Number 48. According to the speaker, what does the honeybee communicate through its dances? Number 49. What does the speaker say about the honeybee's system of communication? Number 50. What does the speaker ask the listeners to do at the end of the talk? This is the end of Section 1, Listening Comprehension. Stop work on Section 1. Turn off your audio player.